I'm going to have to do something just slightly different. I don't know what the Lord wants to leave with you, so I'm going to have to not follow what for months I've been preparing for this segment and just let the Holy Spirit do whatever He wants. Sometimes you don't know what to pick and what to choose, and the best is just to let Him do it. He might take us down a charted course I don't know anything about yet, and maybe He's been writing something for a few months I haven't found out yet. Just know that your life is going to be what it needs to be because the Holy Spirit is faithful, not because you do everything that you want to do or because of your obedience or your repentance or everything else. We just follow the Spirit. He's going to guide us and lead us. He is the one that's going to take us down the course we need to be. He is faithful. That's His name. You will arrive where you need to arrive, and you will find that place in God. So, going back now, we have the table of showbread. Table of showbread was just a table, basically, without describing it much. It was made out of gold, and on top of it, as I said before, were just two rows of six cakes piled one on top of the other. And then around it was sprinkled frankincense, which was a gum that was burnt with a fire at the brazen altar. And it was very necessary for that to be there. Now, I want us to understand the typology and symbolism that that brings to us. And I want us to be able to just sense from the Lord what things these might represent. There's nothing in the Bible that says this means that. Sometimes you just have to listen to the Spirit and have Him speak to you. And what I find about the Spirit is that what He might tell you something is, He might tell me something different, and both are true. It's just that we have finite minds, so we have a way of cataloging everything. It's either this way or it's nothing at all. And the Holy Spirit isn't that way because He's so vast in all His ways. But the bread, basically, was to feed the priests while they were in there all day working. And so they had to eat from that. And that speaks to me about the fact that when we come into the kingdom, we now need to live by a power greater than ourselves. In other words, we have to feed off of the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In your days, He said to the Jews, you had bread coming down from heaven, but that wasn't the true bread. I am the true bread. If you eat of me, my words are spirit and they are life. You will begin to live. Once we enter the threshold of being born again as children of God, we have to eat. It's one of the first signs of life when a child is born. They cry mainly because they're hungry. Have you ever noticed that when you were truly born again, there was an enormous hunger in your heart for the Word of God? But more than just to read the Bible, you were hungry for life. That hunger means that you were seeking for something to make you alive. You were needing it. It was a need in your life. In fact, it still is a need in our life. And so the Lord made provisions for the priests while they were in the holy place, while they were in the kingdom. When we're born into the kingdom, we hunger and thirst. Those are two good signs of health, spiritual health in your life. And when we lose that hunger, it's a sign already to us that something isn't right in our walk with God. When we're no longer thirsty for the move of the Spirit, when we're no longer longing to want something more or to add to what we already have, or to reach out to God for new revelation and we're content with just what we have, something is already wrong in us. Because in the natural, when you get sick, the first thing you do is you're not hungry anymore. You just don't want to eat. And you just start drawing back from the factors of being alive. And so notice those things in your life. But God, who is the provider of all things, provided in that place something for them to eat. There's a reason for there being two rows, and there's a reason for many things. Let's just imagine for a moment a very practical way of these breads of life. Let's just imagine one of these little cakes that were there. I believe it has to do with direction in our life. Because we come and we feed from the Lord and from His Word the directions for our life. Because He said, acknowledge the Lord and know your ways, and He will cause the things to come to pass. He says that direction comes from the Lord. You know, His Word is a lamp unto our path or to our feet and illuminates the way we are to go. And if we follow the directions that God gives us for life, we will arrive at the destiny that He had for us in the book that He wrote for us when we were formed in the womb of our mother. And so it is very important to get directions from God. God, do I go? Do I not go? Do I preach at this church where I'm invited or don't I? Do I do this? Do I do that? Lord, what do I do? In the Old Testament, they had the Urim and Thummim. There were stones that either lit up or didn't, and it told them yes or no. So they had to learn how to ask questions from God.
They couldn't ask him, is it blue or yellow? They had to ask him, is it blue? And one of the two would shine and let him know, no. Is it yellow? Yes. And I have found that walking with God and feeding from God is far more simple than you think. All these complicated prayers, I don't even know if they get to heaven. I think they all get garbled up along the way. But if you just ask simple things, it really helps. One thing that really helps is if you're going 70 miles an hour down a highway and someone suddenly crosses the road head on in front of you, you don't have time for a long prayer. Something like, help, is all you need, and that prayer shot right through heaven faster than anything else. And God's angels are there instantly to save you and keep you, or to bar the things that weren't supposed to come to your life and let the ones that were come through, because he has a development process coming up for you. Sometimes the prayers that are important are the ones that we pray, not in the extensiveness of it or how, whether in tongues or whether not, or whether silent or whether, that's not important. What is important is that it comes from the heart with intensity. That's what the Lord wants, is intensity. If it doesn't mean enough to you, why should it to God? If it's just a prayer we prayed off the top of our lips, why should it mean anything to God? I really don't think there's enough power behind that prayer to make it past the ceiling. I think those prayers that come from the intensity of our soul. You know, a baby, when they cry, they'll let you know that they're hungry, but they get mad with their crying, and you can tell the difference with their crying if you don't give them what they're crying out for. And they're just going to very intensely let you know they're not only angry with you, but they're going to keep this up until they drive you crazy, until you figure out what it is they need. And they haven't even been able to put it in words to say, Mommy, I'm thirsty or I'm hungry. It's just you got to figure it out. But you're going to figure it out by the intensity of that voice. In fact, if they fall or get hurt, that cry, that intense cry, that short, sharp cry is something you know immediately. You jump right out of your chair or right out of bed or whatever you're comfortable doing at your office or whatever you're doing, and you're there in a heartbeat. So the intensity of our communication with God is very necessary in our walk with the Lord. Now, coming back to food, because the cry was for food, God wants us to know that we need to feed. So one of those cases could represent directions in our life. Another one is wisdom. God says, ask for me wisdom. Do you know how many times I've needed wisdom in my life? And we could go on and on and on with this list, and you could add to that list whatever you want, because it's practical. This was practical food for them to eat. We need practical food. You have to go into the Word. We have to go to the table of showbread very often in our life to feed from it and find out the things that we need, because they're all there. It's amazing that our Creator already knew everything that we would need, that every one of the 7 billion people that would live on the earth at one day would need in their life. It's all already prepared in the formula of the food in your Bible. That is the most amazing thing. But what I have discovered is that it's not just a program of reading the Bible through once a year and this chapter's this year. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the table of communion, because that bread could also typify the Lord's Supper. It could represent the bread that you eat to live. You know, I know people in my own family and in my own life, in my father's life, that when there was a disease in his body, for months he would partake of the Lord's Supper. He would get the Word of God. He would open the Word of God. He would inquire of the Word of the Lord. Not everything that's there is for you. He went out and hung himself. Is that for you? No, you can't just read the Bible and take what you want to out of it. God has reasons for what he does. But the reason there were two rows is also the reason why pure frank incense was used. Because pure frank incense had two qualities: purity and fragrance. It had something that was attracting, something that was uplifting, something that was beautiful, and something that taught you purity. It had to have both qualities. In these rows, we have to have both for balance of food in our life: grace and law. Because there's people that would love to throw the law out, and there's other people who want to throw grace out. Listen, we need both. I think you can figure it out. I think you can figure out in the practical of your life what things you derive from that. But the one thing I do want to leave today with us that's very important is that the table of showbread was there. That means that it's necessary in our life. We can't avoid it. You can't avoid personal communion with the Lord. You can't avoid those moments of drawing from the Lord and having Him speak to you. Because Jesus said, not the words I wrote to you, but the words I speak to you. The Holy Spirit has to direct you and guide you. Sometimes if you're very needy or if you're in a situation of crisis, I have done this. There are times and moments of crisis that I don't have time to go through here, and if nothing speaks to me, I change the page. Don't try to make it talk to you. Don't go looking for what you want to hear, because that's what we do. If you want to hear something from God, something nice, because you feel down that day, you're going to go through until you flip through and find something nice. It's there, because both the fragrance and the purity are there, so we're going to find it. But what we want is for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. But that intensity of the crisis in our life will cause you to say, all right, Lord, I need a word from you. And you know I need a word from you. I don't have time. I've got 2 minutes and I don't know what to do. Just open the Bible. Doesn't matter where. And it will amaze you how your eyes begin to focus on a certain part of the page and something comes right off of it. Now, how your fingers dropped in the middle of those two pages, I have no clue. But they've happened several times in my life. Now, if you try to make that a pattern, it won't work. If you try to use God, it's not going to work. When you're in a crisis, when you're in a need, God will do that. The point I'm trying to make today is that the table of showbread is absolutely necessary in our life. We can't avoid it. In the kingdom of God, as a child of God, you can only live by at the table of showbread. We ignore the table of showbread and you will begin to dry up inside until there's no life in you. Until some point, sick and tired and weary and faithless and full of unbelief and impossible to live with by your wife or husband or pastor's wife. You've exhausted all of their resources. Finally, you come to the place and say, God, I can't take this anymore. He said, finally, let's meet at the table of showbread. You need my words life in you. You know, if you just ate once and that's the last you ever ate in your life, you'd be pretty sick by now or dead. In the spirit world, we don't feed our body. In our spirit world, we don't even feed our mind because our brain is natural. But we have the mind of the spirit. We have a heart. We have a spirit man that needs to live. It needs to eat. It needs to thrive. It needs to move forward. It needs to be in God. So we're talking about the two rows of bread. And we have a way of picking whatever we want. That's why I like to just go through the Word and let the Holy Spirit direct. Because sometimes I don't think I need something that He's talking to me about. I don't ever go to God to ask Him for more humility. I know you do, but I don't. I don't think I've ever asked God for patience. Because He's got to give me tribulation and affliction to get that. I'm not stupid. See, it's not good to pick and choose because we don't know what it is we need in our life, in our spirit man life. But God does. Sometimes He'll speak to you about things you weren't even thinking about. And He'll put His finger on something in your life you didn't even think was bothering God or were bothering your spouse. But boy, was it. Not even your children can put up with it anymore. Now God's got His finger on it. He wants to talk about this. Have you ever noticed this? It doesn't matter where you turn in the Bible, it's there. Uh-oh. You turn it again, stop somewhere else, start reading. Uh-oh. You try to avoid it, and it will meet you right in the face. And if you're really good at avoiding it, God will bring a prophet or a preacher or a person in your life or a friend of yours and say, thus saith the Lord. You'll get the message. Because the Lord loves us. It's just like a mother. Why wouldn't she feed her child? Why wouldn't she want to see it well? Why wouldn't a father want to see his child well? That's why they go to work. That's why long hours of work to provide. So that our Heavenly Father is much better than any of us as father, much better than any of us as mothers. The Holy Spirit is there hovering over us continuously, wanting to see us well, thriving in faith, thriving in hope, thriving in the Holy Spirit with strength, with anointing on our life, with everything we need. He's more than enough. He's the God of all sufficiency. So He provides. I doubt the priest ever ate all 12 cakes. They may not have needed them. All I know is that God provided them. And it's a shame that God provides something that we don't use when we need it so bad. And so when we're born into the kingdom of God, it's extremely necessary to feed off of the Word of God. not necessarily the Bible is reading it, like I said, but feeding from it and let the Lord speak to us. Get the directions in your life from it. Get the hope in your life. Get faith built up. Listen, all kinds of things strip us of faith. Believe it or not, the devil will strip you of your faith. Even your friends, without meaning to, will strip your faith.
Yes.
Listen to the news too much and you lose all hope that you would ever hope to have.
Amen.
That's why it says hope upon hope. Because you lose the hope you ever hoped to have. That's a bad place to be in. Listen to his news. He's got great news. He shouted it from angels from heaven. Good news. Goodwill to man. Listen to that news and your faith will soar. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anyway, that's the feeding part. That's why the bread. That's why it's necessary in the kingdom of God. When we're born into the kingdom of God, God provides spiritual food for us and we need to live. This isn't talking about natural food. Remember that the table of showbread was a natural piece of furniture. This was just something that God began as a sign. It was a mirror of the truth. It wasn't really the actual thing. Now, the spiritual fulfillment of that was Jesus, the bread of life, that came down from heaven. And from then on, through his spirit, we are fed every day. Because remember, he made us through the blood of Jesus at that altar, priests unto God. So as priests, we must come before the Lord. We must enter his presence and begin to feed. Now remember that the holy place is the world of the Spirit. We have passed now from darkness to light. We've passed from death to life. You have passed from the natural world into the spiritual world. We are now a spirit man. Not that we have a spirit. We live now in a spiritual dimension. When you come in here, we're not just feeding on natural things now. We're feeding on spiritual things. Our ears are now beginning to be opened and developed as we mature in God in the holy place to open heavens. Our services should be open heavens where we're hearing from God, where the preaching isn't just a sermon somebody found on the internet, but they're words that come from God for his people. God needs to develop our hearing in the spirit world, where we can hear his angels singing, not just our choir. Where we can begin to hear the words of prophecy of the Lord speaking to the church, to each one of us. Where while somebody is preaching, God is talking to you about something entirely different. And then suddenly you come back and don't know where they're all going. But God had your attention for a moment because you were in the world of the Spirit. When we're translated from the natural world into the holy place, we are now dwelling in an area of the spirit world of God. Outside, we were under the spirit dominion of the devil. That's why people are mediums, that's why they're warlocks, that's why they're witches, that's why there's people connected to that spirit world of the devil that only goes up halfway to the throne of God in heavenly places. But God connects us bypassing the natural man because we are now a spirit man and connects us directly through a throne, putting like if it were, I'm not saying it is, but like a tube through the middle heavens so that nothing can interrupt our conversations. And we are now in a spirit realm. We're in the realm of the spirit where the Holy Spirit starts speaking to us, where you can actually feel his presence. It's not like in the holiest of all. That's really intense. But this begins to teach our spirit how to be sensitive to God, how to be sensitive to know what song to sing in a service, to be sensitive to know what song to go to after that, even if you hadn't planned on it. We live in a world of the Spirit where you begin to hear, where you begin to feel, and where everything comes alive in a dimension you never had before. This is the world of the Spirit of God. It's almost like he transports it and puts it down here because we're still babies. In the holy place, you're transported up there. Here in the holy place, heaven's transported down to you until we develop and can handle that kind of glory. That's why God had to shade Moses. Lest he see the fullness of his glory, he would die. He didn't have the capacity to handle it. And listen, that guy had some serious capacity.
Yeah, he did.
The children of Israel said, no, you go up there where the fire burns and the rocks split with lightnings hitting it everywhere and thunder shouting from heaven that scared the dickens out of everybody. He said, no, you go up there. We can't stand to go up there. The guy goes up there 40 days, comes down one day, hears a voice, come up here again, and turns right around, goes up there after another 40 days of not eating or drinking. And stands in the presence of God, looks at him, and speaks to him face to face. Not looks at him, because you can't look upon God and live. But he spoke to him face to face. That's what God says. You better respect this man because he's a man who stands before me and I speak to him face to face. So if you say anything about him, you're saying something about me, so respect him. You see, in the world of the Spirit, God takes everything personal because this is his world and you're living in it. And he's going to make that very real to you. And God will put demands on you if you miss it. God will put demands on you if you don't listen to him. God will put demands on you if you don't pay attention to him. God will put demands if you refuse to let him develop your hearing, develop your eyesight. That is the place of vision. That is the place where God will give you visions of the future of somebody. This is a place where you will receive prophetic perceptions from heaven about something that's going to happen to somebody in your family or somebody that you know so that you can pray about it and avoid it. This is the area where we live in the world of the Spirit. Listen, this isn't coming to church with a bunch of religion and just listening to a sermon, singing three songs, going home and feel like you made God happy. This is a totally different dimension. We are now children of God. We've passed from the world of the natural into the spiritual. We've been born. Something was born. Some child was born. Thank God for that. We are now alive, a living being in God. Where? In the world of the Spirit. And because we're babies, you have to bring everything to a baby because they can't bring it to themselves. When you're in the holiest of all, you go get it. Here we are at the table of showbread. But the Holy Spirit is there manifesting himself, revealing God to you, revealing yourself, like we said last night, to God. It's the world of the Spirit. If you're born again into the world of God's Spirit, where it's more alive than ours, there's more things happening. If you've never heard from God and don't know what it is about hearing directly from God and the only words you ever get is through your pastor or your spouse or your children or whatever, you're in a sick situation spiritually because God is speaking all the time.
That's right.
The problem is our hearing, not God speaking. And God doesn't slap us over the face because we can't hear. What we do as parents is take them to a doctor. Whether you put a little thing in their ear to help them hear, a hearing aid, or whatever you got to do for that child, you're going to do to improve their hearing because without hearing, they're not going to have any kind of a life down here. I don't even want to go to sight. You're born blind and you're not going to have much of a life down here. You can make one if you triumph in God and he can help you like many men and women of God have who have been blind and have done more for God than people who can see. But listen, there's such a thing as spiritual eyes too, where we see in the world of the Spirit. So all I'm trying to say is that when God passed us from darkness into light, when we crossed the threshold of that first veil, it left the natural world out and we now belong to the world of the Spirit. There's a whole world to explore here. There's a whole world to know. There's no limits with the Holy Ghost of what you will become in your life. Things you never dreamed of that you would be or become or be used by God, suddenly you're doing. Things you never dreamed your life would become, it is. Things you never thought, concepts you never thought you'd understand or know are given to you as gifts from God. The gifts of wisdom, the gifts of understanding, the gifts of revelation. Understanding is when God opens your mind to grasp hold of what's already there. Wisdom is to know what to do with it. But revelation is new information. Revelation is something that there's no way you could have figured out, even if you're a scientist, by discovery or by any other means. It is something given to you by God. It's a revelation that comes out from Jesus into you, spoken to you, and you are the holder of that revelation. Anytime God gives you something, it's still His. Remember that. Because we have a feeling that when He gives you something, we just run with it and do whatever we want to with it. You can, but you'll get in a lot of trouble. The best thing is to recognize when He gives you something, it's His. So you ask Him, Lord, there's a whole lot of revelation You've given me. What do You want me to share this morning? Not all the revelation is for You. It's His revelation. The fact that I have it doesn't give me the right to use everything I want. That's where wisdom comes in. And so you see that this world is a totally different world. But we are a new creature. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, God informs us these things for you to have something to look forward to. And when things begin to happen to you, you don't feel funny about it. You say, yeah, I heard about this. This is where I'm going. God doesn't say these things to slap us over the head and makes us feel terrible. He just does it to let us know there's a whole world out there to get. There's a whole world of the Spirit to know. Salvation, baptism in water, baptism in spirit, and then go and work for Jesus. Hallelujah. How about all the rest? So consider this. You've awakened into a world of the Spirit of God. It's a beautiful world to be in. Welcome to the holy place. Welcome to the world where the Holy Spirit is in control. Welcome to the world of unlimited power on your behalf whenever you need it. Unlimited revelation, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wisdom. It's an unlimited world of the Spirit that whatever you need, He will supply. He's your helper. He's your comforter. He's your teacher. He's the one that walks beside you. He's your empowerer. He is the one that will open up the ways before you when no man could open it. And He shuts them and no man can open them. You have unlimited power of God at your disposal. That's scary. But at the same time, it's wonderful. Do you know the difference of just standing here and trying to pour things out of your brain and then have the Holy Spirit come on you and suddenly it's just all bursting right out of your mouth, all so easy and all so nice and all makes sense. And when you're all done, you say, wow, that was nice. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God for His grace. So here we have the 6 cakes, 2 rows of it, and we understand a little bit of that without going any further. Now I'm going to touch on the pure frank incense. Pure frank incense, we already said, had 2 parts, the purity and the incense. And I just want to talk about the law and the grace, because sometimes there's a lot of mix-up here between the law and the grace. And so as we look at these 2 things, we understand that seeing as though we have unlimited resources in the Word now, God wants to make sure that it is pure. Listen, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people out there. Maybe you don't travel that much, but if you travel to a lot of churches out there, there's a lot of people that throw out the Old Testament because they believe we don't need it anymore. We're in the New Testament. Then other people, like the Jews, they throw out the New Testament. They just live with the old one. And then some people throw out the New Covenant because they're still in the old one. And they're a bunch of legalistic people who drive you crazy. Holiness people, supposedly. The only thing holy about them is that they drive you holy crazy. Listen, this is very true. This is the actual world we live in. You have to have purity and grace. Grace is in the New Covenant. Grace is in the New Testament. The law and purity and teaching us about the purity of God is in the Old Testament and in the Old Covenant. We need both. That's why pure frank incense, to keep us balanced in our walk with God. Don't throw anything out. It's there for a reason. God says every jot and every tittle, that means every little line, every little dot, every little whatever, every punctuation in the entire Bible, new, old, covenant, old, will last forever. His word will not have an end ever. When you go to heaven, it's going to be there facing you. It'll probably be a gigantic book about a mile wide and probably 5 miles long. And it's going to be the word of God that existed before the world was ever made. And God, first, He drew out the plan, wrote the book, and then He just did it. Purity is necessary, but fragrance is too. You give fragrance to the world and they'll get converted. But once you got them in the church, if you don't give them purity, they'll go back to the world.
That's right.
So all the effort you made to bring them in, they're going to go right back. Because they're going to say, this is the same as that. What did I convert to? Why did I come in here? Now, on the other hand, in the church, you can't just give fragrance to the world, good news and a great gospel and grace gospel to the world to bring them in. And then when you get them in the church, you just give them purity. No. One person I really admire as an evangelist is Billy Graham. Because although there was grace and fragrance in his messages, so much so that a person didn't have to think about it, to run forward to God because they felt attracted to Him and didn't feel fear of Him, yet at the same time, boy, He gave you purity. He told you what sin was and what it would do to you if you didn't let go of it and let God take care of it. So his message was beautifully balanced. In the church, we need the same thing. Some churches just give it to you over the head, give it to you over the head, so you do that with everybody else. And some people just preach grace, 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 provision, prosperity, everything else, and you become like the world. You might even lose your soul over it if you keep it up. So that is why it was necessary, once you enter the kingdom of God, once you enter the place of a child of God, not just to have bread to eat, but to have the pure, frank incense lining it everywhere and always present. Now, you're going to say, how does this fit in the restoration revivals? I'll explain to you how. It fits all of them. The purpose for the table of showbread was fulfilled in Jesus, but prophetically, it comes alive in every revival restoration that's been up till now and the ones we'll see tomorrow and whatever might come in the future in eternity. So the table of showbread is something that must be present always. Now, I'm going to stop for a minute and I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to go to one of the revivals and show you how this frankincense on the table of showbread applies to them. The latter rain move that we spoke of was a tremendous move of God. I'm not going to repeat what I said about them, but I just want to say it was a tremendous move and it was of God. However, false doctrines, see the lack of frank incense, false doctrine came in. False doctrine has come in to every single revival before it burned out, and that's why it burned out. But going back to the latter rain movement, just to give you an example, they ended up in what was called antinomianism, which means because there's so much grace in God, you can live however you want to live because there's grace. So people became like the world. They sinned better than people in the world. Basically, the charismatic move has been that way, the Pentecostal move that way. That's why we have so many divorces. That's why we have so many ruined families. That's why we have so many ruined lives, almost to par with the world. Because frankincense has been left out of each revival. And God put the table of showbread with those things to teach us a lesson. The Bible says that everything that's in the Old Testament is there to teach us lessons by example. So He put the pure frankincense there to keep it. Let's go back to charismatic revival and the following revival after that we spoke of last night. They don't call it antinomianism, they call it hyper grace. We've just given it a different name, same stuff. So we have hyper grace. So now we have preachers standing up and preaching against hyper grace. Well, they're taking us to the law. That's good, as long as you don't leave me there. Then we have people preaching grace. So then my life gets messed up. So you know what people do? Hop churches. Call them butterflies. They go to this plant, they go to another plant, they go to whatever. And that's the only way they can find a little bit of balance and sense in their life. We need pure frankincense in the church. We need pure frankincense in our revivals. We need pure frankincense from God. Now, I want to explain to you today so that you understand, especially pastors, workers, what hyper grace really is and how to deal with it correctly. I want to show you what pure frank incense will do with this message of hyper grace. And I want you to really fix it in your spirit, because this will bring you the balance that you need for yourself, for your church, and to teach others. There is only one kind of grace. That's hyper grace. True grace is hyper. It's exaggerated. It's over the top. It's limitless. It's crazy grace. It's the only type of grace. It's free. It's beautiful. It's outrageous. That is true grace. So to say hyper grace and preach against it, it's an oxymoron. There's only one type of grace. So why then do we call it hyper grace? Well, we're just trying to give a name to a problem that's going on with the church that's lacking pure frank incense. So let's get down to the bottom of it. True grace isn't in the people who teach it that brings the error. It's in the listeners. You preach hyper grace to a person in the world going to hell and they found out about this grace, what's it going to do for them? It's going to save them. They're going to come to that grace. So is that bad? That's good. Preach this hyper grace, which is the true type of grace, to a person that feels that that grace gives them a license to sin like the world or worse than the world, and you're losing them to the devil, and you preach that to them, what's that hyper grace going to do now for them? It's going to destroy them. So is it in the message or is it in the hearer? So God says to the preachers, I don't want you to have itching ears. In other words, I don't want you to preach what they want you to preach. I want you to preach what I tell you to preach.
Amen.
Having itching ears, the Bible says, They go into error. Because what happens is that especially the rich people in the church, they put pressure on the pastor to preach whatever they want him to preach because they want to live the life they want to live. I bet you didn't know in the Tabernacle of Moses it got this nitty-gritty. But it does. That's pure frankincense. God was trying to show us way back there thousands of years ago through example of something that was actual physical on earth and spiritually revealed in Christ. And each revival, even the first Pentecost, ended up in error. Do you know what they called the error? It became a denomination, Catholicism. It brought in idolatry. That started out as Christianity. Do you know that they build their very church on Peter, whom Jesus said on that rock he would build his church? They believe they are Christ's church on earth. That's how bad it can get. Talking about Catholicism, I don't want to prophesy to you, but it will be in your lifetime you're going to find out things about the Pope and Catholicism that's going to make you shudder right down to your bone. But that's where it will end. So if pure frankincense had been there at the end of the first church, which is a mighty church by the Holy Ghost set up by the mighty apostles of Christ that walked with them for 3 years, ended up like that, don't think for a minute that we're safe from all of it. Keep frankincense on the bread of your life. Now, here's a practical way in which you can assure yourself that you have pure frankincense with your bread and your food for your church, for yourself, or for anyone else. Here's the practical realm. Do you know that you can prove anything you want to from the Bible if you quote one verse? But anytime you find a verse that you really like in the Bible, read 10 before, read 10 afterwards, and then find it in three other places of the Bible, Old and New Testament. If you can't find it, then what you're trying to come up with is error. What you've done is thrown out the pure frankincense and you're just eating the bread, but you don't know what you're eating. That's where disease comes in. That's whatever. That's why today, for today in the practical world, you have to read labels before you eat your food. Because the stuff they're feeding us today will kill you. Be wise as serpents. So we wonder, why did God tell them to put pure frankincense there? Duh. He had to read the label. This is good. I know you're quiet, but this is good because this will save you. This is keeping grace. God doesn't just have saving grace. He has keeping grace. And the frankincense is the keeping grace because it passed through fire. It had to go through a transformation in order to keep you clean, in order to keep you alive and well, so that everything that you eat in God is doing you well. Let me give you another example. Pure frankincense keeps the devil out. He has talked to me through the Word of God. That's why you need to develop your hearing, because you need discernment of spirits. God doesn't ask us to judge what a person said. He asks us to judge the spirit behind what was said. That's what 1 John teaches us. And so with pure frankincense, basically that's talking about discernment. Because now you're discerning who put that bread before you. Turn this rock into bread. Eat this bread. It is written. Really? Jump off this cliff, saith the Lord. It's written in His Word. He knew what spirit had said that. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only Him, and Him thou shalt serve. Frank incense that was pure. Listen, don't lose the fragrance either. I'm trying to keep you from error, but at the same time, I want you to know that there is a fragrance. That's why the words that distilled from Jesus' mouth were like honey. That's why people said, never has a person spoken like this one ever. His words were just so healing. His words were just so filled with life. His words were just so gracious. They were so filled with grace. The fragrance of the frankincense, the fragrance is the grace side of God. But if you see that for too many years in a row, that's all you get from God, I'd start sniffing something. If you go through many years of condemnation out of the Word, that regardless where you went to it, it hammered you over the head, you better start sniffing something. Figure out who put it there, because the incense has to be purely from God. That's why it has to pass through the fire. The fire discerns where it came from. Because the fire was from God. So if any other spirit came in to the bread that you're going to eat, it was passed through fire. God's fire. He had to eliminate every other spirit speaking into your life. Now listen, I know that sometimes it's hard to grasp hold of this, and maybe some of you have never been at that place that I'm talking about today, but it's very important because every revival ended. It gets snuffed out because of this very thing. It was missing the pure, frank incense. So that is how the table of showbread applies prophetically to the future fulfillment. It is fulfilled in every single revival, and it will be until the world ends. So that is the table of showbread.